And to really study anger and to appreciate the study of anger, the first step is to study its destructive effects on the human, on a human being. Okay, what's so bad about anger? The opening lines of Master Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life say that 1 minute's anger at a very holy person can destroy the good deeds you've done for millions of years. Okay, I mean that's, and then there's this debate in the monastery. We debate it night after night. You know, is this a literal or is this an exaggeration? And it's not an exaggeration. You know that you can have, you know, sort of good relations with somebody for years, and then in one night of true anger, you know, in one night where you really let it out and you say all these horrible things, that once they come out of your mouth, you can't take them back. You know, you can't say, can you pretend you didn't hear that? You know what I mean? You can't, and you know, you've been wanting to say it for a while, and then it finally came out of your mouth, and then there's no way to retract it. You can destroy the friendship of a lifetime in 10 minutes of true anger. You know, in 10 minutes of sincere anger, you can destroy a whole lifetime's relationship with somebody, and people do it. And then normally that leads to a second event and a third event, and it just goes downhill from there. So anger has this effect. One good moment of powerful anger at a very holy being can destroy millions of years of good deeds. They say, that's what the scriptures say. Then the tantric scriptures say something else, okay? And that's very interesting. I can't teach you the details because tantra means secret, and secret is secret, as Rinpoche always said. But you should know the other effect of anger, and that's that basically you have some kind of inner spiritual plumbing. Okay, you have these pipes of all through your body that are invisible to a normal eye. They are physical, but they're very subtle, almost like the body of a spirit or something. They are physical, but you can't see them very well, and they transmit energy throughout your body. And they form, as the fetus forms in the mother's womb, these channels or pipes throughout your body. So you have a whole separate nervous system, and it looks like the nervous system throughout your body. And there's a central part of it that goes from here down your backbone inside down to here. And that's called central channel. And you have sort of a vital energy that flows through your body. It's called prana in Sanskrit, chi in Chinese, lung in Tibetan. And there's this energy, and it's almost like a spiritual, physical energy that runs through your body. And if you're thinking sweet thoughts, this energy is flowing very well, okay? Because the energy is connected to your thoughts. As your thoughts go, so goes the energy. So goes the energy. Okay, so if your thoughts are particularly holy, calm, compassionate, then this wind, this energy is flowing very evenly to your body. On the outside, that's reflected in how you breathe. Okay, the inner winds are connected to your breath. And in Tibetan, the word is the same. If you're translating a tantric scripture, it gets a little confusing, because the word lung means the inner spiritual energy going through this channel, and it also refers to your physical breath, okay, which are not the same thing. But if the inner winds are moving in a sweet, normal flow, then the breathing is reflected in it. I always talk about a sitar. I used to play sitar, and it's got all these sympathetic strings under the keyboard. So there's like, to tune it is a disaster. It takes like, to really tune for a concert takes about an hour. And you have to tune all these tiny little strings under the keyboard and you have to change them for each raga. So each time you play a different raga, you have to retune the whole thing. And they're tuned to a certain scale. And then you go and tune the top ones. And then you have to test it. And the frets are movable. They're held on by little pieces of string. So the whole thing can go out of tune. I mean, you have to move all the fret, you know, like 20 frets around until the whole thing's... And the way you test it is you hit the top note, and then two sympathetic strings should go off. And that's why it sounds so, you know, because really when you hit one string, you're hitting three or four strings. they go off like in an echo chamber. So if it's tuned right, and you just hit one note, three strings go off below. You see what I mean? Your breathing and your inner winds are the same. You see what I mean? They are sympathetically related. So if your inner energy is going well, then your breathing reflects that. You see? And then you're breathing nice, calm, deeply, uninterrupted, like that. What happens if the opposite happens? If you get upset, and especially if you get angry, then there are these choke points. They're like five choke points in the body. And that, they're called chakras. People think it's a very beautiful, sexy thing, chakras. They're actually deadly choke points where there's a certain like a knot. And when you get angry or upset, or when you feel strong desire in a wrong way, then or jealousy or anything like that, then there's this choking sensation on that energy. And the energy gets choked. And then what happens to your breath? You start breathing. You know, you're getting angry. And that's a sign that something on the inside is being choked. You see, it's a sympathetic thing. That gets choked. You have a bad thought. That chokes. And then the wind chokes. And then the breath chokes. You see what I mean? And every time you do that, it hurts your body a little bit. Okay? Every time you do that, every single time there's a 1 second or a 2 second or a 3 second constriction in one of those five centers, then you're actually, your body is damaged. Okay? Like another part of a wrinkle appears. One or two hair starts to change color subtly. And this is real, okay? This is very important in Buddhist practice. In the higher stages of Buddhist practice, you have to use these facts to change the process. You see what I mean? We'll get to that sometime. But what I'm trying to say is that every time you have anger, not only does it destroy, you know, thousands of good karmas that you did through intense efforts, that's one thing, okay? But it also destroys your body. You see what I mean? It actually causes the aging process, right? And now I'm not talking about an explosion of anger. I'm talking about daily, intermittent irritation, which I like to call low-level radiation, okay? And this is from my days as a diamond dealer. We used to do diamonds, and we did about 40 other gemstones, okay? One was topaz. Topaz is dug up in Sri Lanka and in Nigeria. The Sri Lankan topaz doesn't have, I forget what it is. It's like iron, but it's not iron. Anyway, it's an element, it's a trace element of a metal in it. The Nigerian does have this. You see what I mean? All topaz, most topaz out of the ground is colorless, okay? And then you radiate it with electron radiation and neutron radiation and then electron radiation to make it this beautiful blue that you find in pennies and Macy's, and we used to sell it to them, okay? So, you know, I'm searching around the world for nuclear reactors that don't have anything to do, and, you know, and when you get a big, you get a kilo, 5,000 carats for like $2, and but you don't know if it's from Nigeria or Sri Lanka, see? The Nigerian stuff stays hot for about 1,000 years. The Sri Lankan stuff you can pull out in about 6 months, you see? So you just send it to Switzerland to be put into the reactor, you know? And then you pray, and you get this phone call, and they say, you got Sri Lankan, you know? And you're like, oh, man. Because now it's worth maybe, you know, $25,000 or something like that. And that's how they make money. Then you cut it up into little pieces and like that. So I call the Atomic Energy Commission. Why? I'm curious if this is going to, like, deform the babies of the women working in my department or you know, other things, like my hands are going to get worse or stuff like that, you know. And so I call them and I say, is this stuff dangerous or not? Is this safe? Like, they're selling it in the United States. Is this safe to do? And they say, well, it is allowed, you know. And I said, well, have you checked it, you know? And they said, well, there's no high-level radiation coming off it at all. And I said, no, that's not my question. I want to know if it'll hurt anybody. Because, you know, Mrs. Smith is wearing 1 carat, but my people are holding 5,000-10,000 carats a day, you know, and will it hurt people? You know, and they said, well, there is this thing called low-level radiation, you know. And I said, what's that mean? And they said, well, you know, it gives off a lot more than you get from standing in the sun or something like that. You know what I mean? And so I said, well, then it's safe, right? And they said, not really, because it's accumulative. It never leaves your body. I mean, first year you get so many Rankins, second year you get so many Rankins. It's accumulative. It doesn't leave your body. You see what I mean? And so the longer you stay around it, the bigger the chances that it'll break a chromosome and you get cancer, right? So I'm like, so it's really not safe, is it? And they said, well, we can't tell you. And I said, why? And they said, we're not allowed to say anything because we'd get in trouble. We're not allowed to give an opinion because we could get sued on it. You know, but it's low-level radiation, okay? Which means that one moment of irritation during the day is not going to, like, choke your channels up and you have a heart attack. By the way, it can happen later, okay? But this constant irritation, and I'm talking every few seconds, every few minutes, hundreds of occurrences of low-level radiation, which are accumulative. You see, the effects on your inner spiritual body are accumulative. It's one thing for Master Shantideva to say, look, you get angry at somebody, you're going to blow 1,000 years of karma. That doesn't mean much to people who don't believe in karma or past lives. But if you say to somebody, guess what? You know, you just made yourself a little older, you know, a few more wrinkles. All the hair, the teeth, the hearing, the seeing, all your senses, the acuity of your senses and your mind are linked to the condition of those energies. You see what I mean? Every time you get slightly irritated at somebody, your breath shortens a bit because there's been a choking. What I want to say, and what I want you to realize, is that it's the low-level radiation. It's the moment-by-moment slight irritation with the people around you and the things around you that kills you. It creates mortality. It's responsible for the fact you have to die. Okay? It's one of the main factors that makes you get old. Okay? And everybody does it. And so everybody's getting older. You see, I mean, everybody can't control their mind in that subtle level from moment to moment. You see, I mean, and that's killing you. That's one of the main reasons why human bodies age. You see, I mean, everybody was looking for the fountain of youth, right? Ponce de Leon. And all this, you know, looking for eternal youth. It's there. You see, it's don't get angry. Don't have negative emotions. Every time you have so I'm not talking about controlling anger in the sense of don't have a blow up at your parents or your wife or your kids or something like that. I'm talking about don't be slightly irritated throughout the day as you walk around New York City streets, because that's killing you. That's what turns your hair gray. That's what makes you age, okay? And you have to realize that. That's the real reason to study Sipa. We're not just talking, oh, it'd be nice if people in this room were more pleasant all day long. We're talking about, do you want to age or not? You know, do you want to... And by the way, that would imply that if you could reverse the process, you would get younger or not? Absolutely. I mean, the goal of Buddhism is to reach a Buddha paradise. And it's not without cause. It's not like you just get the right roadmap and figure out the right door to go into or something like that. You actually go about the process of reversing the damage and opening up those things. And the whole idea is that at an advanced stage of that process, your body starts to change into something totally different. It's like living crystal or something like that. Your body changes completely. And then shortly after that, you become an enlightened being. And that's the whole goal of this process. So in the short run, it's a lot cheaper than cosmetics and stuff. And in the long run, we're talking, you have basically a choice. Everybody in this room has a choice. You can go normal way and die like most of the people around you. Or you can make extraordinary efforts to control your anger and your other negative emotions, and try to reverse the process. And that's the goal of Buddhist practice.